What's up, y'all? It's your girl Samantha, and this is my podcast, Naturalize. Y'all, today has been a day. It's been a day. It's just been a crazy past few days, if I'm being real. And it's been a crazy past few days because I'm in this place in my life right now where I'm having to process my grief, and it can be a lot when, because let's be real, grief happens, but the world don't stop for nobody. Like, you got to keep it moving and keep it grooving, and let's keep going because we got things to do, places to be, and all that good stuff, right? So, it's been a lot trying to come to terms with all the changes that's taking place in my life, all while continuously maintaining the things that I have to maintain in the season. So this week has been a little bit out of my norm and out of my usual, but I've allowed myself to feel what I need to feel and to process what I need to process, and I still am, because that's the only way you're going to heal for real. You ain't going to be able to, you know, wake up tomorrow in hopes that the thing that existed yesterday don't exist no more if you haven't done anything to, you know, allow you to maneuver through that particular thing. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta, the problems just don't go away on their own. It just don't work like that. It's just not that easy. It's just not that simple. So this week has been a bit challenging for me, but I was so happy today because I went to Sam's and I was doing some grocery shopping, and I had to take all four of the younger kids with me. You know, at the end of Sam's, I was sitting there. I had ordered us a little pizza and gotten them something to drink and stuff. And we were sitting there, you know, at the little picnic tables that they got in Sam. I was feeding the baby and, you know, tending to the other kids or whatever. And then this lady just came up to me and she was like, I was just sitting over here. Me and my husband was just watching you and stuff. And we saw you, you know, feeding your kids and feeding the baby and stuff. And we just wanted you to know, like, you're doing such a good job. Your kids are so well-mannered. You know, we was just paying attention, and we just saw how, you know, your kids were listening and all this stuff like that. And then she was just telling me how her and her husband has 7 kids together or whatever. And so, you know, it just made me feel good because it was one of those things where sometimes you just need to hear you doing a good job. And sometimes you don't even really be knowing for real what you be needing, or not even just that, but what that one particular thing. I'm trying to get the lighting better because it is a little. Okay, that's better. What that one particular thing could do to you, or for you, should I say, because sometimes you just need that little encouragement of, oh, I see you. And that was God reminding me that I see you stewarding well over the things that other people overlook. And I say that because a lot of people be thinking stewarding well only is a thing when it comes to money or blessings or miracles or positions, like at a job, whatever the case may be. They don't even be looking at it at the lower level, which is, you know, if you're a mom, that's something you have to steward well over, because I wholeheartedly believe God is not going to allow you to be living in abundance and highly blessed and highly favored if you don't even steward well over your children. Like, that's the first stewarding well, okay? If you can't handle and manage that, then I just don't see how you expect to be living this abundant life where it's pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So just, you know, being able to hear those words, it was so encouraging, because sometimes you just don't know what you need and you don't know what it does for you. And this week, I've been having moments where, you know, I haven't really been able to fully see about myself because I've had to tend to other people and other things that just come first. So, you know, I was happy about that. And it's the little things, you know, and it was just a reminder that God sees me, and he sees me doing very well in an area that means a lot to me, you know. And if you know, you know, being a mom is one of those things that just matter to me. I want to be a good mom because I didn't have a good mom. And I know how much I allowed myself to go through because I was looking for something to fill the void that came from the things my mother didn't do. And so I don't want that for my children. And so because I don't want that for my children, I've learned what God has taught me, you know, previously so that I can maintain my relationship and my assignment as a mother and do it to the best of my ability, right? So I say all that to say, you know, this week has just been different though because it's been a lot of like grief here. And, you know, people don't really talk about grieving things that are very much alive. People think grief just comes with when you lose a person. And that's not so, you know, you grieve things that's very much alive. You grieve things that's dead in your life, but they're still alive, you know, in the physical realm. You grieve things that you thought your life was going to look like, or you grieve things on how your life used to look like and it's no longer that. And here I am in a season of my life where I'm grieving certain things when it comes to my marriage because it's hard, you know, like, it's a lot of stages of grief. And even when you come to terms with other stages of grief, you still can experience stages that come before that. You know, like acceptance is one of the stages of grief. I've accepted that this ain't working. I've accepted that I no longer want this. I've accepted that it's no longer a thing for us. I get it. I accepted that. But being that I'm still human, there are still the other stages of grief that I'm also processing as well. So, you know, I'm having to process my feelings and allow myself to feel what I'm feeling because I just don't want it to hinder me from where I'm going. So this week, I've been feeling a lot of emotions that I might not have been feeling, you know, previously or whatever, but I've allowed myself to sit in that moment and to deal with it at that time and to process it as well. Because I'm be real, like if you would have told me my life was gonna look like this 2 years ago when I signed up for it, because I've been married almost 2 years come December. If you would have told me my life was gonna look like this 2 years ago before I got married, I would have never believed you. I just would have never believed it. And so here I am grieving things that, you know, I thought was gonna be different. I thought this was gonna look different. I thought it was gonna affect me differently, you know, like I thought it was going to enhance my life differently. And I don't want to confuse all that God has done and is continuously doing throughout this process with, oh, it was bad, because it's not bad. It's not that it was bad. It's just simply sometimes when you want to be used by God, you got to expect God to use you how he see fit. It's not because at the end of the day, it's for the glory of God. It's not for what you want to. It's not for you. It's not for nobody else. It's for God. So if God wants to use you a certain way, you have to be okay with that, even if the result doesn't pan out the way you wanted it to. So here I am grieving this part of my life because I didn't think it was going to pan out like this. I didn't think it was going to end like this. I didn't think this was going to be my story. You know what I mean? Like, God, why me? You know what I mean? Like, why you couldn't use somebody else? But I also realized too, after I sit and I said and come out of my emotions or whatever, this had to happen. And it had to happen this way because I wouldn't have gotten it the way God wanted me to get it. Sometimes God got to wreck your life, and it's not to wreck it like to destroy you. Meaning the magnitude of what he is doing has to be at such a great impact that he has to do it that way for it to stick. And if he doesn't, then it won't produce what he needs to produce. So certain things in your life gonna hit a little bit harder because God need that to do something to you to the point where you forever changed. And so this had happened to me because I wouldn't be who I am today if I wouldn't have went through all these things. I would have not been equipped to be in the position that I'm in today and also be in the positions that are to come if I would have never went through the stuff that I went through and the stuff that I'm going through, right? So although the results was not the results that I was anticipating, it's still, I still, if I had to go back through it, and God said, I need you to go through this marriage. It's going to last this long. You're going to go through this. You're going to go through that. And in the end, it's not going to work out the way you want it to work out. But it'll produce what I needed to produce to get you where you're going. Is that something you want to do? If God asks me, because this time he didn't ask me. He hid things from me because sometimes God be no. First of all, God be knowing what God doing. And sometimes God don't tell you everything because he know if he tell you everything, you're going to say no. Keep it in a honey. If God would have told me all this was going to happen in the beginning, I'd have said no. That's why I made sure I crossed all my T's and dotted all my I's before I got married. I asked all the hard questions. I did all the dissecting. I did all the praying and fasting I could because I didn't want to be in something that I was not going to be equipped to carry. So if God would have told me all of this before, I would have said no. So, but if God would have told me, if God was to tell me this a second go around to say, hey, you're going to go through this. It's going to be like this, but the outcome ain't going to be nothing what you think it is, but it's going to be useful for where I'm trying to take you. Is it something you want to do? Believe it or not, I would say yes, because I know I don't want to omit myself from nothing God is doing in my life, even if it hurts. I want to learn what God is teaching me, even if it's at a greater magnitude than I could ever imagine. I want to learn those things because if it's going to enhance who I am going to be, then I need that to maintain the calling that is on my life. So I don't want to be half equipped. I want to be fully equipped. So if I have to sign up for wars that I really don't want to fight in, but I know I'm equipped to fight in, because think about it, God don't sign you up for things he know you don't have the ability to prosper over and to prosper through. He don't just be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna just put Samantha there. No, God is very strategic, very unique, you know, very, very, very demure, very know what he doing. Okay. So if he assigned you to something, it's because he knew you were capable of carrying that thing, defeating it, and it was going to produce something that was going to stick with you for where you were going. And so I don't want to miss my mark because I'm scared of the things that God has already signed me up for that I might not necessarily agree upon. But I say all that to say this marriage ain't been, even though it didn't produce the results that I was thinking, it produced something, and it produced something that was deeper than what the eye perceives. And I have to be okay with that. But I also know, sorry y'all, I also know I'm in this stage of my life right now where I'm grieving certain things that I thought it was going to be. I've been emotional all week, for real. Like, I'll probably cry more than I would like have. I would like to, you know, I would have liked to. Because who want to be doing this? You know what I mean? Like, I was thinking today, like, getting emotional. I was like, about to cry. Like, I was crying. I was like, and I don't really want to cry on this podcast, but like, this is where I'm at this week. It's like, God, how much, like, I'm in a Job season. I feel like I've been in a Job season since I got saved 3 years ago. Like, I've been here. And the Bible don't specify in, correct me if I'm wrong, but when I read the book of Job, it didn't specify how long Job went through his season. It didn't say that. It said Job kids was killed. Job farm animals was taken away and killed. Job had sores. Job did this. Job through that, did that. It didn't say how long Job endured the things that he had to endure. And so here I am, been in this Job season for 3 years now. Not almost, 3 years. Naturalized podcast, the birthday was 2 days ago. I started this podcast 3 years ago, 2 days ago. And I've been in this season where, God, you called me out of nursing. You took that from me. God, you took my grandma from me. Like, that was my favorite person in the entire world. I got saved, and you told me 2 weeks after I got saved, you need to celebrate your grandma this year because she's not going to be here to see her next birthday. And I'm like, whoa, I ain't never heard God speak so clearly before in my life. And I ain't never heard him tell me nothing like that. And I was like, ain't nothing wrong with my grandma. Only thing hurt is her knees. For her to later get diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And then she don't make it to see her. She don't make it to see her birthday. Not even just that. She didn't even make it to see me really fulfill this walk with Christ. She knew I got saved. She knew I got baptized. She was there for all of that. But She wasn't there for me to graduate massage school. Yeah, I was able to give her a massage and do all that good stuff while she was living and while she was in pain. But she won't here to see me walk across the stage. She won't here to see my fruit now. She won't see this. She won't here to see how far I've come, all that I had to endure. You took that. Then before that, two weeks after getting saved, after you tell me that, my house flooded, my brand new house that I just bought 2 years ago, it floods on its second 2 year anniversary. It floods. You took that. The flood was not even my fault. And I lost against the insurance company. And God was like, don't worry about that. Go to school and do what I told you to do. Don't worry about that. If you would have seen how me and my kids had to live for a year, and I was not ungrateful. It was a very trying time. Very trying. And I wasn't ungrateful because by God's grace, the flooding occurred on the first floor and not the second, because if it would have occurred on the second floor, we would have never been able to live there. And let's be honest, most people don't have, well, let me not say most people, I don't have a family to where me and four kids could go and stay until we get ourselves together. I don't have that. So by God's grace, even with the flood happening, I was thankful because it occurred on the first floor. So I was able to still live in my house. Very uncomfortable, very trying. Oh my God. And God was like, go to school. Don't worry about that. Whole time I'm like, God, I just bought this house. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Don't worry about it. Who? You know what I mean? So, and it wasn't 2 year anniversary. It's my 1 year anniversary. Was it? I moved in the house 2020. Yeah. The house flooded on the 1 year anniversary, a month after the 1 year anniversary. Took nursing. Then the house flood. Then my grandma's stuff happened. Then my car get repossessed. And my car gets repossessed because I'm in school, because God done told me not to go back to nursing, and I'm doing all this stuff. So it's like, dang, you done took my car. Then I go up against foreclosure. I'm going up against foreclosure. And I'm like, God, bro, come on now. Like, we doing a lot. You know? And then that happens. But by God's grace, God figured it out. But then I get married. And then the enemy come after my kids. Use my kids' daddy. They're trying to take my kids. Like, it's been, and now I'm in this part of my Job season where now the marriage too. Come on, bro. Like, so today I was a little emotional because I'm like, God, how much more taking we gotta get? Like, how much more you gotta take to see that I'm down? Like, I'm all in. And I realized that. Everything ain't about you, you know? And I had to learn that in this season of my life, because it gets a lot. Like, this walk with God ain't cute. It ain't cute. Especially when you got to give up things that you work for. You got to give up things that you prayed and fasted for. Things you've been faithful for. You got to get those things up. Because it's not about whether or not God want to see whether or not you care about your preference and what you think your life's supposed to look like and what you think you're supposed to have. He see if you care about that more than being obedient to what he say. And so God going to put you through some things to where I got to allow the enemy to test you in this area. For one, because I know that's the goodness of God too, is that God already know the beginning, the middle, and the end. So he already know these things that's going to happen. He already know the outcome. He not putting you through the test to show him. He putting you through the test to show you. So I'm going to let the enemy play in these areas of your life for such a duration of time. It's been 3 years now. I'm going to let the enemy play here. But I also know you committed more than you know you committed. And so you have to come up off of a lot of things. A lot of things that's going to hurt your feelings. A lot of stuff going to hurt your feelings. You're going to have to come up off of it. But I also know I wouldn't have assigned you or called your name. Job's name was called because God knew he could trust him. God knew Job wasn't going to fold. He knew that. And to show the enemy, you really not going to be able to do what you think you're going to do. I'm going to let you touch him. I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to let you have your way. Just don't kill him. It's been the same in my life. I'm going to let you have your way. Oh, it's my homegirl, Kayla. Shout out to Kayla. I'm going to let you have your way. Don't kill her. Take whatever, do whatever, do all of that. She not going to fold. She ain't going to fold. And in this season, it wasn't just the enemy being shown that I wasn't going to fold. It's God showing me you stronger than what you think you are. You've come further than you could imagine. I've assigned you to go up against these things because I knew you could do it. But I had to show you that you could do it. Because if I reveal these things to you when other things start happening, when you get where you're going, you're going to be able to remind yourself of, oh, I can get through this because X, Y, and Z happened in my past. And if I can get through that, then I can get through anything. So, yes, this has been something for the enemy to think he was going to have his way and slide on me or whatever the case may be. But all in all, it was for God too to show me that you're more equipped than you think you are. You more equipped than what people can imagine. Like, and so it's been rewarding to see that thing, but it's hurt in a lot of areas for real. You don't want to come up off of the things that you deserve. You know what I mean? Like, here I am in the season of my life having to get my marriage up. You know how many people watch this podcast? Not because they support it, but because they want to see what's going on in my life. Because they happy that this part of my life has occurred. So many people will want to watch this podcast to say, oh my God, I knew her marriage wasn't going to work out. I knew it wasn't going to do this. I knew it wasn't going to do that. Whole time don't want to get to know me in person, but want to come and watch my podcast to say all of these things, but you don't want to know me in real life. That's crazy. Crazy. You know how many people was waiting for this moment? And that's why I'm like, God, you know how many people was like, waiting for this moment, like both girls and boys, you know what I mean? Like, was waiting for this moment, and so it's been a lot to process, and it's been a lot on me to deal with mentally. Because thankfully, though, I'm thankful that I'm in therapy, and I've been in therapy for a little minute now, at least. It's October. At least five months, I say. What's it been, 5 months? Shoot, probably is. Yeah, I think it's been about 5 months now. And I knew it was nothing but God with that. Like, that was even strategic. And it's been helping me, you know. But you got those days, bro, where you want to just, like, today, I was telling God, like, probably if my kids weren't around and I could have a minute. It's so, like, at its surface of, like, the grief part where I could just weep, like, not cry, not get teary-eyed, but weep, like, weeping. Because it's a lot. Like, grief don't just come when people die. Grief comes when things die in your life that you wanted to live. Things that you wanted to be. The part of me that get emotional, part of me that gets sad is, you know, like, you got to be okay being used for things that ain't gonna make you look good in the end. You got to be okay being people villain in a story, for real. You could do your best. You could give your all to something, but people gonna define things from their perspective. And if their perspective is the way they want to view it and not the way God wants them to view it, then expect the perspective to not necessarily look up in your favor. And it's not to say anybody has to be right or wrong. It's just simply, you got to be okay being the bad guy in people's story. You got to be okay with that. And it gets to become a lot because if you know me, bro, all my friends say this. All my friends like, bro, I'm not even married to them. And they like, you're a good wife, bro. Like, you're a good wife. They've heard all the things that we've been through. And I know a lot of people be like, you shouldn't be telling people y'all married, business, blah, 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 blah. Listen, it be certain people that you don't need to tell stuff to, but that's why you need you some people in your corner where you could be raw, authentic in yourself, and people will help pick you up where you at and carry you the rest of the way. This walk already heavy enough. I don't got time, nor am I equipped to be doing it by myself. No. So, my friends be like, you a good wife. And I'm proud of you because the person that you used to be would not be able to handle the person that you are today, the things that you go through. And you a good wife, you know, like, and my husband has said it, you know, it hasn't been in the moments where I needed him to say it. It's been in the moments where things are clashing and things are looking like we might need to do our own thing. And then it's, oh, you're a good wife. But it's never, you're a good wife in the moments that you need to hear it, you know? And it's been a lot because it looks like this all the time for me. Like, this is my story, and I'm just thankful that I don't allow myself to believe, because the enemy wants me to be like, oh, here go another person walking out of your life, here you go losing another person, it's you. And whole time it's not me, it's just I just can't settle for things that's not that don't meet the standard that God has told me to meet. If it doesn't meet it, then I don't want it. And I'm not going to settle in that area of my life. So the enemy will want me to focus on, oh, look at these people walking out of your life again. Because you don't want to do this or you don't want to do that. No, it's not that. It's not that I don't want to. It's just I'm not going to conform to a will that God has not assigned to me. There's enough people out here sleeping on their potential and sleeping on who they are. I don't need to be another one. What, buddy? Why? Mason, let him play. You better not spend his things. Why he can't? Mason, let him play Roblox. Blocks. Y'all, I was shooting this podcast earlier. Girl, oh my God, y'all, I tried to shoot it a few times. They was on 1,000 today, so I wasn't able to. What?
I was only saying because
you can't play
Roblox
because
I have my account on it.
You ain't playing Roblox on a thing.
On my game.
You playing on the game?
Yes, sir.
Why he can't sign it to another one?
He never did that.
Well, just let him sign it to another one. Earlier, I was shooting this podcast and they kept coming in here or whatever, but I watched Tim Ross podcast. Well, I used to watch Tim Ross podcast in the basement. He used to shoot in his living room and his sons would come in. What's the problem? And interrupt him every time to time. And he was like, you know, this is real life. And he wasn't going to, you know, edit that part out or nothing like that because he's just being a dad. You know, this is the same thing. Like, I'm just being a mom. It's interrupted because, shoot, the kids is here. Who gonna take care of them? You know? But what I was getting at is, you know, the enemy want me to get so focused on this being my life. Like, oh, somebody else is, you know, leaving you. But all in all is, I just don't want to play, I don't want to play small. And if I got to give up things that make me play small, then I just got to give them up. I got to trust that God has something better in store for me. Even if it comes with pain, even if it comes with sadness, even if it comes with all of that. But at the end of the day, I know in this chapter of my life, please, we're not. Go, figure it out. In this chapter of my life, I've done the best that I could. I've done the best that I could as a wife, and I've done the best that I could with everything that I was given in the season that I was given it. Sometimes we, please stop arguing. If not, y'all already know what's gonna happen. I don't care. I know I've done everything I could do, and I know I've been in this season where I've utilized everything that I possibly could in the seasons that I've been given it. And sometimes people want other things for their life. And want you, they want other things for their life, and they want certain things to be certain ways and all of that and all this. And sometimes you got to be okay with knowing that's okay for them if that's what they want. But I can't meet that. I can't meet that standard that you're looking for right now. And it's not that you can't meet the standard that God has asked you to set. It's you can't meet the standard that they have set for themselves. And I'm just not able to run a race that God has not assigned me to at a speed that he has not assigned me to run it at. I'm okay running my race. I'm okay doing what God has called me to do. I'm okay standing 10 toes down in each season that is presented. I'm okay with all of that. Whether I have abundance or whether I'm in lack. I'm okay with all of that, but I'm not going to be able to meet the expectations that people place on me that I didn't agree upon. And so in the season, I'm grieving because I'm having to give up something that I wanted. You know, I wanted it to work. I wanted it to be fruitful. I wanted it to produce, you know, great things. I wanted to spend the rest of my life here, you know? I wanted all of that. But it just didn't work out that way. But I won't allow myself to believe because it didn't work that I didn't give it my all. I gave it my all. I was the best that I knew to be and that I could be with everything that I was presented with at the time that I was presented with it. Sometimes people want things for themselves that you can't produce for them at the time that they're asking for it. And I'm okay with that. I don't want you to feel like you have to settle by feeling like you're being neglected from getting certain things that you feel you're deserving of at the time that you feel you're deserving of it. I don't want to come in and convince you otherwise. If that's what you feel for yourself, I'm okay with that. But I'm also okay knowing that just because I can't meet those benchmarks that you've assigned to me doesn't mean that I haven't stewarded well over the things that I was supposed to steward well over. And I'm happy to know that I did give this my all. I was the best that I knew to be, and I was better than I could have ever imagined, because the old me would have missed the mark, for real. The old me would have missed the mark. The old me would have been fleshly. The old me would have felt like I had to defend myself. The old me would have said things that I didn't mean. The old me would have said, well, just forget it. The old me would have just been like, no, it's my way. But it wasn't like that. And so I'm happy to see my growth here, even when it is ending the way that it's ending. But I'm also grieving because, golly. Let me put this on Do Not Disturb because it's just doing too much at this point. I'm also just grieving because it's a lot to process. I am having to start my life over again. And if you know me and you've been watching the podcast, you know I struggle with physical changes, right? And I struggle with physical changes because I've been bounced around my entire life. My mother would take me to my grandparent, to my auntie and my uncle, and leave me there for months and not come pick me up. Like, would leave me there. Then my mother went to prison. My mother lost custody of us. My grandparents had to adopt us. I've dealt with a lot of trauma from physical change because I've never felt as if I could physically adapt to a certain area or a certain thing for a long period of time because my mother was so unstable that it was bound to change at any given moment. So don't get comfortable here. Because tomorrow we might be evicted. Tomorrow the car might be gone. Tomorrow you might be here. Tomorrow you might be there. And so, you know, yeah, I did get a form of stability for a little bit to, you know, when I got with my grandparents, which is where I stayed from fifth grade up until I turned 21 and moved out. But even when I moved out, it wasn't something that I wanted to do. It was something I was forced to do. And I was forced to do it because me and my grandma just was not seeing eye to eye. And it was getting to the point where it was just becoming too much for me. And I already had a son, my son there, and I just didn't want him to see that discombobulation. I didn't want to see that. I didn't want him to see that. So I just made the executive decision or the forceful decision to move. So even with that, that wasn't something that was fight or flight. That wasn't something that I was able to walk into with ease. That was something that I had to do in that moment. Even with leaving the kid's daddy, I had to do that. He wasn't going to ever leave me. He wasn't going to ever leave me. I made his life so well and so easy, he was never going to go. But it was going to cause both of us to settle. So I had to make the move to do it. That came with me physically being alone with four children. One at the time was under the age of one. So here I am again having to make a physical change. And physical change scares me. It do. But the thing I love the most is that there's a difference between scared and fearful. Scared is a natural human response. You're human. You can be scared. Fearful is when scared has now stepped up a notch to the point where it has instilled fear in you that has prevented you from making a move that you need to make, from preventing you from making a step that you need to take, whatever the case may be. Fearful keeps you held hostage. You're literally like a prisoner. Scared is, I'm scared. I don't know what the outcome gonna be, but I'm gonna do it anyway. That's me. I'm gonna do it, but I'm gonna do it scared. I'm gonna do it, but God, I don't know how this gonna turn out. I'm gonna do it, but God, you're gonna have to show me something. And so physical change scares me. And it scares me because it's been my whole life, bro. It's been my whole life. You get tired of this narrative. You get tired of having to save the world. You get tired of that. As a female, as a woman, every woman wants to be at some point in their life in a soft girl era. At some point. And when it's your soft girl era, it's literally being in a position to where just because I can doesn't mean I should, and somebody else sees your value to the point where they feel like, I know you can, but I don't want you to. So I'm going to take some of the relief. I'm going to relieve you from certain things so that you don't have to, because I don't want you having to carry that when I already know it's heavy enough. I don't want you to do that, because here I am trying to make your life easier. So I'm going to help relieve you in certain areas of your life. every girl want to be in a soft girl era at some point in their life. Some point. And here I am feeling like I was there. Like, it's deeper than money. It ain't, this ain't about no money. You girls out here who money hungry have really ruined it for the girls like me. You ruined it. Like, everything ain't about money for real. It's not. It's to the point where, like, protection even, you know what I mean? Like, here I am with this physical change, back being by myself, not with four kids this time, but with five. You know, that physical change is going to be me being a single mom to five children. At the end of the day, I'm going to be responsible for them. When we out in public, first of all, I've been that type of person, but it's on 1,000 hours. The world getting crazier, and that's just facts, right? I'm not fearful or nothing like that. I'm just aware. And then the way my mental work, I'm on go at any point. I don't care who it is. If I got to take it there, then that's what it's going to be. But so as a female with kids out in public already, my senses is up here. Which means I can't be doing no side stuff, because I'm already over here having to pay attention to all my children, because at any given moment, you need to be ready for whatever take place. That's just being aware of your surroundings. So I'm going to have to be doing all of that. And then not even just that, right? But think about it at home. If, God forbid, a fire ever break out, I'm going to have to make sure all those kids is out, plus myself, in a timely manner. If somebody break in the house, I'm going to have to do all of that. As a female, you want to have that form of protection and that form of safety and security to where you don't got to worry about that type of stuff. That's not something you got to worry about. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be on the forefront like that, because you got somebody that wants to play that role for you. You know what I mean? It ain't nothing about no money. It's deeper than that for me. I'm not worried about the money. And I say it all the time. And I love that for me. I'm not no girl after nobody money. I'm not no girl where you could buy me with no money. None of that. I'm not one of them type of girls. And I'm just not going to say I'm not okay with the change, because I ain't got no choice, right? But it do come with parts that if I didn't have to sign up for it, I wouldn't. Because I'm tired of this narrative. I'm tired of feeling like I always got to be in this go mode, or it's always got to be me. You know what I mean? Like that me versus me mentality, where at the end of the day, you don't got nobody but yourself. Like, yeah, I got God, don't get me wrong. But like in the physical realm, you don't got nobody but yourself. So that change, that's probably the biggest thing that I grieve, is knowing that, dang, here I am about to be going back to something that I was so happy to be free from. As a woman, you want those things. But I'm also okay with knowing that it'll just be for now. In the same way God did it before, he'll do it again. And whatever that looks like, you know, later down the road or whatever the case may be. But you got to be okay playing the role that God assigned you to in this season of your life. And so change is scary, but I'm going to do it scared, you know. And I just got faith that God will figure it out and it's going to work. You know what I mean? Then I'm going to be able to look back on this moment and say, yeah, grieving sucked and it hurt and it was sad. But I was able to process what I needed to process, and I was able to learn what I needed to learn. And it has allowed me to be able to now reflect back and say, dang, the thing that I thought was crushing me was actually building me up, you know? And I know sometimes we miss what God is doing, because we think that just because, what I want to say, no, go back. Sometimes we miss what God is doing, because I'm grieving this part. This is the part I'm grieving. This is where it's at, okay? I was trying to digest everything I was trying to say. I was also, in this part of my marriage, grieving the part where God allowed me to play a role that looked similar to people in my husband's past, when, God, you know I ain't that type of girl. Like, I've had to play the role of looking like something that was familiar to my husband, that was a trauma and a trigger for him. And I used to be like, God, I don't understand why you writing this narrative for me to make me look like this, when that's not what I am. Like, I'm not that kind of girl. I'm not like that. And you not changing my situation fast enough for me to show him that I'm not like that. And it was so triggering for me, because here I am getting the backlash that I'm getting, not because it's me, but because of people before me who looked similar to me, not physical, but, you know, whatever, seasonal. And although their motives was not pure and intentional for a greater cause, even with mine being it, because it's similar and it's a trauma for him, it looks like I'm doing the very same thing that they doing, that they did. And I just couldn't understand for the life of me, God, why are you allowing me to look like this to him, when that, you know, that ain't me. You know that ain't my character. You know I would never do nothing like that. You know I'm not that type of person. But I told my husband, I told him, when I started paying attention to how things was going, I told him, I sat him down and I said, sometimes God's gonna give you the same story, bro. Sometimes God's gonna give you the same thing again that looks similar to something you done been through in your past, but you gotta have faith to believe it's not gonna produce the same way it produced the first time. That's just like when people be starting a business and it failed the first time. Sometimes they get so scared they'll never pursue that business ever again. And God be like, that is a part of your purpose. That is a part of your calling. And if you don't pursue it, you're going to miss out. But I understand the first time it didn't work and you were scared and all this and it turned out this or that. But if you pursue it again, I guarantee you, even when it looked like before, I'm telling you, it's not going to produce the same. But you got to have the faith to waver the storm that's going to be presented to you when it's presented to you, and faith that even though I'm going through a storm right now, it's the sun eventually going to come out. And I told him, I said, sometimes God going to give you the same storyline again, to where it looks like the same thing is happening again. But you got to have the faith to believe that this time it's not going to produce the same way it produced the last time. It might have produced an error and failed the last time. But this time, even though the storyline looked the same, you got to have faith to believe that it's going to produce something different. I told him that. I said, I understand that my story looks similar. Not my story per se, but my these seasons I'm in look similar to something that previous people have asked you to stick around with them in, you know, when it was their season or whatever, but their motive and their mentality might not have been the right one or the same as mine. But because our storylines look familiar, and because this is something you've been in before, the enemy wants to cloud your mind and your perspective into believing, here you go again. You in a situation like this, like you was here. Here it is again. But God is saying, have faith, waver the storm, and trust and believe that it's going to produce something different. It didn't work like that. it didn't work this time because here I am dealing with the same outcome as the people before me. Because it didn't produce what he wanted it to produce at the time he needed it to produce that. And I had to be okay with running God's race and not his race. And so, although it may have looked like I let him down, I didn't let God down. I didn't. I did what God asked me to do. And it's been rough because, God, why would you do me like that? Like, you know that that's not how I am. And the person that I love the most and the person that I wanted to work with, you've put me in this season to play this role that looks like I'm taking advantage of him. It looks like I'm not trying to do this or I'm not trying to do that. It looks like all of this. Whole time, God, I'm literally just following the plans and the process that you got me on, trusting and having faith that it's going to lead me to where you intend for it to lead me, where my abundance is going to be so big that I'm not going to even be able to receive it myself. Other people are going to have to do it for help me with it. But I remember when I was having that conversation with God, God had to sit me down and tell me everything is not about you. Everything ain't about you. You sit here saying, why am I doing this and why am I doing that and why am I making you look like this and why am I making you look like that? It don't got nothing to do with you. This deeper than you. I'm just using you. This ain't got nothing to do with you. Mason, you gonna have to get her, buddy. Why are you? It was like, I lied to you. Now, it was so crazy because he was like, everything I'm doing is not about you. It ain't about you. And he told me he wanted, this was not for me to be like, God, why would you use me to do this? And why would you use me to be this in his life? And God was like, the storyline was for me to see how he was going to treat you when he wanted you to have the things that you didn't have. Take her in there with y'all. Take her in there with y'all. Thank you. The storyline was not for you to come into this abundance immediately. No, I wanted to see how he was going to treat you when you didn't have the things that he wanted you to have. You're not going to be without those things. They're coming. They coming. But I needed him to see how he treated you when he felt like you should have certain things that I have not given you yet, but you were committed to following me for because you knew I was going to give it to you. Mason, what I just say, dude? Okay, close the door and go ahead. Close it. Thank you. Go get her juice. And so he was like, everything ain't about you. Everything is not about you. I'm just using you. I'm just using you. I'm using you to do the job that I need you to do here. It ain't about you. It's not saying you did this. It ain't saying you ain't good enough. It ain't saying you didn't try hard. It ain't none of that. Don't measure your outcome by what you felt it should be. Sometimes we be wanting our outcome to be this, and God be like, the outcome is going to be this. It's not going to be what you want. It's going to be this. But just because it didn't produce the outcome that you wanted doesn't mean you didn't do what I needed you to do. Everything ain't going to work the way you wanted to work, and you got to be okay with that. But that doesn't mean you didn't do what you were supposed to do here. Your outcome is not my outcome. Your ways is not my ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So I wanted you to see how he was going to treat you, and I wanted him to see how he was going to treat you when you didn't have the things he wanted you to have. And I'm going to say, like my pastor said the other day, he said, man, some people gonna hate that they left you too soon. Some people going to hate that they counted you out too soon. And I stand on it, bro. I stand on it because I know where I'm at with God. And I know all the work that I've put in with God. And I know eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, bro. and that things is about to shake and turn in my favor. My life is about to turn drastically. And the things that people wanted me to have at the time that they wanted me to have it, they going to wish they never did. And they going to just wish, why? If she wants it. They're going to wish that they stuck around long enough. Because a lot of things, my character don't be the defects, for real. And I ain't saying that to say that I'm perfect or nothing like that. But the Bible say, treat others the way you want to be treated. I'm not perfect, but I try my hardest to extend a level of grace to people that I would want God to extend to me. And people gonna wish they had me around a lot longer than I stayed around, because real so rare, bro, real so rare, you not gonna encounter a lot of people who mean well for you, and not based off of who they want you to be, but who God wants you to be. I don't want you to be anybody else than other than who God has called you to be. I don't want you to conform to my will. I don't want you to please me like over God's will or nothing. I want you to always aim to be who God has called you to be. Because if I align with his will, I'll still be around. If I don't, I'm still okay with not being around, even if that means, even if you still pursue Christ and that mean I can't go, I'm okay with that. I want people to come to Christ so bad, bro, that even if God say you got to outgrow Samantha, I'm okay with that. I want you to go experience all that God got for you so bad that even if I can't go with you, I still don't want you to miss out. You're not going to meet too many people around here where people going to go to the height that you will go to. A lot of people in this life be wanting, don't want to reciprocate stuff. They don't. They be wanting you to do this and wanting you to do that, but when it comes time for them to do it, they don't want to. I'm not one of them kind of people. Real so rare that sometimes people gonna miss out on the realest people in their life because they wanted people to be who they wanted them to be and not who God wanted them to be. And so you missed out on something so good because you didn't want to stick around long enough for them to become who God had called for them to become, because you was in such a rush for them to be who you wanted them to be. And I love that for me. I love that for me. I love that for me, that some people, you left too soon. Some people counted me out too soon. Some people define my story by the chapter that I was in at the time that I was in it. Some people define my life by the season that I was in at the time that they met me. That's not how that works. Some people gonna wish they stuck around long enough, because it ain't about quantity, boy. It's about quality. And some people got all the quantity in the world and don't got the quality. Don't have the good heart, don't have the characteristic traits that one needs in their life to literally help them be who they need to be. You know what I mean? Like, people be sticking around, bro, because of what you got, not who you are. Because the moment you don't have it no more, they up and leave you. You need some people in your life who want to be around based off of who you are, not what you have. Because the moment you don't have those things no more, are you going to be able to depend on those people that you're depending on? Real so rare that it's going to be a lot of people who hit this halting stop to where they see like, dang, the people that I thought was with me really ain't with me like I thought. Real so rare. And it's been crazy because I've had to be okay with everything not being about me. God just using me, right? God just using me. Like, it ain't to say I didn't do this. It ain't to say I didn't do that. Like, God, like, I didn't say you want a good wife. I didn't say you didn't do what you were supposed to do. I didn't say it was gonna be this. It was gonna be that. I didn't say any of that. I didn't say anything in any of that. Sometimes you gotta be used for something that ain't got nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. Sometimes you're gonna be a vessel for somebody and it ain't gonna be nothing for you, but you just doing the work that God's called you to do so somebody else can get something that he needs for them to receive. He just used you. It don't got nothing to do with you. And in this season of my life, not even just in my marriage, these past, bro, these past 3 years have been the most wildest 3 years of my life. I've seen so many people count me out based off of what I didn't have, that they just missed what I did. My character is so raw. That's why my friends love me, and I'm so thankful that they love me, because not even that they love me, but that they want me around. My friends tell me all the time how valuable I am and what I mean to them as a friend, and how certain people are going to look their whole life for a friendship like we got, and they're not going to ever find it. Because good people like Samantha is not easy to come by. And I ain't saying that to toot my own horn or nothing like that. I'm not. But I'm saying that to say, real just so rare, man. Real so rare. And you don't know how real you are or how rare you are until you willing to do something for other people that you wouldn't do for yourself. Until you willing to serve people who won't serve you back. Until it's time for you to be nice to people who treat you like dirt. You don't know. You don't know how real and how real you are until God allow your character to come out. When people start misusing you and start mishandling you and abusing you and treating you like any way they want to. You don't know. That's when you see. And so, I'm in the season. And I've been in this season, I've been in these days, last few days, where I've been grieving. And I'm grieving the changes that's taking place in my life, because I wouldn't have thought I would have been here. And it's not to say I'm grieving because, God, I want you to change your verdict. It ain't that either. It's, God, I'm grieving because I need to process my emotions here. I need to heal here. I need to gather my thoughts here. I need to come back to terms with who you say I am here, because I won't be able to carry all of this where I'm going. So I need to process and feel what I'm feeling right now. And today, I was in grief so bad. And I'm not saying it in a bad way. I had talked to my husband on the phone. Mind you, we don't really talk much. We've talked, don't get me wrong, but like not like that. Like, it's like a little bit. Most of the time it's about the kids. And the last encounter we had about a month or so ago, it just ended so bad. I was just like, I need a divorce. Like, I need to get out. Please, I need to get a divorce. I need it. Like, I gotta get it. I gotta get it. I want a divorce. I just need to get out. And it's been weird ever since. Weird in a good way. Weird, like, you don't gotta say I hate you and stuff like that or whatever. I don't call. He really don't call. We don't really talk much. Like I said, it's about the kids or whatever. When we do talk. But today, I was having a moment where, you know, I had talked to him on the phone today. And I was just having a moment afterwards. And I just felt it so heavily in my spirit. Like, call him, tell him you love him. And at first, I was like, well, I ain't doing that. I ain't doing that. Like, I'm not doing that. But I felt it. Like, it wasn't something that I didn't feel. And God was like, call him, tell him you love him. Where it's like, It was like, I couldn't even shake it, because it was like this immaculate amount of, like, love that came over me. And I couldn't shake it. I was like, I gotta call him, tell him I love him. So I called him and I told him, you know, and then it wasn't, I wasn't calling him and telling him like I loved him for things to change or for us to reconnect or nothing like that. I just felt it in my spirit and I was just being obedient to what I felt, you know, I was feeling. And I called him and it took him by surprise. But all in all, like I said, we at this point in our marriage too where neither one of us really believe what the other person is saying, for real, for real. And so he was like, oh, yeah, oh, okay, I love you too. type thing like that. And I was telling God, like, I don't get you, bro. Like, why I gotta be the one to do it? You know, like, why I gotta be the one to do it, you know? And then you don't believe it anyway, you know what I mean? But today, you know, I had that moment where I just called and I did it because I felt so heavy in my spirit that I needed to do it. And because I'm not stubborn and because I don't care how I'm viewed, I did what I felt I should do, you know, like I did it. But like I said, I wasn't looking for it to change. Stay over there. Okay. I wasn't looking for it to change an outcome or for us to rekindle or anything like that. I wasn't looking for any of that. I was just simply doing what I knew to do at that moment. So these past few days just been different and been weird and just been a lot of tears because here I am having to process things that I didn't even think I was going to be going through. And it ain't been easy. And it ain't been easy because I ain't want this, you know. But when you want to be used by God, you got to be wanting to be used by God by the things he want to use you for, not the things you want to be used for. So this is going to probably be the last episode of the marriage series because I kind of just tied everything into this. And yeah, I think. So, I do got a few things that I got coming up or whatever. What's wrong with you? There's a few things I got coming up here in the next seasons or whatever. And I'm excited. I'm not really probably going to share the deets today. I'm not going to share all the deets for the future podcast or whatever like that. But I am going to share a few things. Like I said, you know, I'm in the process of launching some merch or whatever. This, y'all, this is like one of my favorite crew knits. Like, this is so dope. Like, it's like, well, where are you? Let me see. Yahweh, like, I designed it and stuff like that. Like I told y'all in the last episode. Oh, ain't y'all happy that this is the second episode y'all gonna get this week because I was behind a couple of weeks. Because like I said, in the last episode, I accidentally deleted it or whatever. Please get out. Thank you. I accidentally deleted it or whatever. So I was like, I don't really want to keep my followers waiting. So I'm going to just release two in 1 week so I can keep it rolling or whatever. So I was able to do, you know, the crew net, which I talked about a little bit in the last episode, if you watched it or whatever. So I am going to be doing a merch drop here in a few days with some new stuff that I got. And it's unisex because I am still doing BU Black Girl, but I'm launching a Christian side as well. Because if you know BU Black Girl, BU Black Girl is not Christian apparel. It is apparel for all Black girls because the goal there is for Black girls to come into authenticity, accepting who they are as themselves, knowing that it don't gotta make sense to nobody else, and being okay living out loud with who they are and what they struggle with, knowing that they still can be used by God. So even though God is in it, it's not deemed a Christian clothing line because I want it to be able to reach all Black girls, whether you pursue in Christ or whether you're not. The goal is for you to come to living in authenticity to where you know I'm worthy enough, I'm good enough, and I have what it takes to do what God has called me to do and to be who God has called me to be. So that's kind of where BU Black Girl stands. But then I wanted to branch over a little bit to a Christian clothing line to where now I have Christian apparel to where everybody can wear it, whether you're a black girl or not. Yes, Mason. Whether you're a black boy or not, whatever the case may be, it's for everybody. And I am going to have some kids stuff, not necessarily baby stuff or whatever, but young kids, Christian apparel as well. But, you know, it's to reach people where they are. Like, I think religion is what scares people away from pursuing Christ because it's, oh, you got to be this or, oh, you got to be that. Christ was not in the church. He was the church. And he is the church. So that's in the street. That's in the club. That's in the hookah lounge. That's hanging out at the block party. That's wherever. Jesus was on the streets, in the streets, okay? And that is what the church is. It's not a place, okay? It's a person. And we are the church. And so I want my Christian apparel to meet people where they are, whether you smoking weed, having a good time, in school, on the block, whatever the case may be. I just want people to know that there's a God out here, Jesus Christ, and God our Savior, who wants to be in relationship with you. And it's not about what you have or what you are at the time that you are that. It's none of that. He don't care. He overlooks all of that. And he just desires nothing more than just you. And so I just want my merch to reach those people. So I have so many dope things that God downloaded in my mind and that I've designed already and working with a few companies to execute. So like I said, this is one of them. And so I have some Christian clothing line coming out, and then I have some humor Christian things as well, because Christian, don't get me wrong, God is serious, okay? Like, God is a serious thing and is something to take serious, but there's a lot of things that we laugh about too. You know, a lot of things have been misconstrued when it comes to Christ. Everybody think it's boring and lame. And, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. The whole time you really can. So I have some things like that that I'm, you know, reaching out and doing as well. And my goal is just to get people to come to Christ where they are and to minister to everybody, not just one crowd, not just one type of people. It's to meet everybody where they are, and you got to create the things that people want to wear. And so that's where this pivot with the Christian apparel is coming into play at. So that is one of the things that I'm doing. And then what's up? Oh, one other thing I'll tell you about. And then, like I said, the next episodes or so, I'll get a little bit more into what the future seasons are looking like, because I'm doing some new things on this podcast. I'm so excited. I'll do that in the next episode. But before I go, I wanted to talk about where the podcast meets the kitchen. It is this thing that I felt so heavily that I wanted to do. And I've been wanting to do it for the longest. Oh, my God. But I was in such a bad place in my marriage, and I just wasn't able to do it. And so now I'm in a better place, and I'm able to do it. So I'm excited. But it's where the podcast meets, Naturalized Podcast meets the kitchen. So it is titled Girl, We In This Together. And it will be a virtual cooking class where it's kind of like a class, but it's kind of not a class. It's kind of like a class because I will send out how you will sign up, basically. And it's not really signing up because anybody can come. But it's so you can get the Zoom link each week. I mean, the weeks that we do it. And you can get the recipe that we're going to cook. So basically, it's a cooking class, but you cook at your own pace. I send the recipe that Monday before we meet, because the meetings will take place on a Friday. Two Fridays out of the month. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. One Friday will be a dinner and one Friday will be a dessert. And so I will send you the recipe that Monday. You'll get the ingredients. We will all get on Zoom together and cook together and have girl talk. And there will be a topic for the week that we talk about. And then we'll just let the Holy Spirit have his way within that conversation. So you cook at your own pace. You don't have to worry about, oh my God, what did I got to keep up or nothing like that. You literally just cook at your own pace. And everybody just has a good time and we talk. Wine a little bit, vent a little bit, have a good time. But the goal is for people to be in community with other women, because women need other women. And sometimes we be feeling like, oh my God, I ain't gonna ever have no friends. I ain't gonna ever meet nobody that's like-minded like me pursuing Christ or whatever the case may be. But sometimes you got to go out your comfort zone to meet people that you're looking to enhance your life. And what better way than to be on Zoom where you could be comfortable being yourself without being judged and being okay, talking about the things you struggle with and the things you're trying to overcome. Also talking about the things that you have already achieved, you know. So I wanted to create such a safe place where I love cooking. So, you know, I was like, hey, you know, that'd be good. Like the podcast can meet the kitchen or whatever. So it's to give it a podcast event where we all get to talk or whatever like that, but be in community with one another as well, doing something we love, which is cooking, whether your kids in the background, because I purposely scheduled the 2 Fridays on the weekends that I have my children, because my kids go with their dad every other weekend, but on the weekends that I have my kids, because I want people to know the world don't stop. Like, the world keep moving. It's gonna happen. Even if your kid's running around in the background, you hear my baby right now. She's standing by the door with her brother waiting for me to take her. Come anyway. Like, come anyway. Do not let your situation or, oh my God, I got all these kids, blah, 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 keep you out from, you know, keep you out of the loop and keep you from, you know, pursuing something that you desire so good and so bad. So I purposely scheduled it on the 2 weekends that I have my children because I want that atmosphere for other moms who might be in a similar situation as me, like got my kids or whatever the case may be, they don't got a babysitter, still come. It's going to be a good time. Even if your kid's crying in the background, we're fine. There's a mute button if you want to mute. There's a mute button. It don't matter. We're good. Like, we want to have a good time. So I created this for the podcast, Meet the Kitchen. I'm going to release the flyer for it for you to be able to email me. What's the matter? Where you're going to be able to email me just so I can have your email address, just so I can keep you in the loop. Because the dates and the times, I put November dates and times, which I said is 7 p.m., November dates and times on the first flyer, but you will need to give me your email address so that you can stay in the loop with the dates following, because I'm not going to create a new flyer. So, and then so you can receive the recipe as well in the Zoom link. So I'm excited about that. That's going to be so good because, hey, you might have to take her out. People don't want to hear that. I'm almost done. Where's her drink? Her juice. So I'm excited about that because I was talking to my youngest sister who's 21. And she was like, that's going to be so good for moms who want to learn how to cook. Because the meals is not going to be crazy. That's another thing, too. You don't have to be no expert. I know people always be like, oh, my God, we love how you cook. We want to come to your house. You do all this. You cook like that. All of this type stuff. Because I show what I be cooking on social media. And then if you bought my cookbook on Amazon, you see the things that I be cooking or whatever like that. But it's not, you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be experienced. You don't have to be none of that. Just come. The recipes I'm going to find, probably gonna be off TikTok. It's literally something simple for us to just be in community. It really ain't even about the cooking for real. It is, because I know sometimes you gotta be cooking, you gotta be a mom, you gotta be all this. But what better night than on a Friday night? Even if you don't want to participate in the recipe, that's cool. You just want to be on the Zoom link, that's fine, that's cool, that don't bother me. But I did want us to get something, you know, to where we all could be in unity, whether you know, sometimes it might be a Bible study, you know, like not necessarily this, but I'm just saying, like, some people form a Bible study group. I wanted to form a cooking group because, you know, I know a lot of women like to cook and a lot of people want to learn how to cook or whatever the case may be. So that's a good way to bond. So you don't got to be no expert. You ain't got to know no cooking stuff. You don't got to know none of that. I'm going to send you the stuff. TikTok probably will be the thing what we use because you will be able to see a visual of the recipe and not read it, because I know certain people learning styles is different. So I'm gonna make it just super easy by just sending you a video and like, hey, this is what we're gonna cook for the week or whatever. And it'll be short and simple because, like I said, it's a Friday night. We want people to unwind, had a moment and rest, you know, for the weekend and recoup for the next week. So that is one of the things that I'm also doing here in November. I was not able to start in October like I originally wanted to. My 2 Fridays with my children are actually booked up. I have something going on those 2 weekends, so I'm unable to do it. But we will get rocking and rolling in November, so I'm excited about that. But those are the 2 things I wanted to mention, the merch and then the podcast meets the kitchen type of thing or whatever. I wanted to talk about those 2 things before I go, but like I said, stay tuned for the new seasons to come. It's gonna be so dope and you don't want to miss out, and you too might be a guest appearance on the show. So I'm gonna stay tuned and I'm gonna keep you in the loop with how that'll be a thing and how if that's something you want to pursue, I'll give you the opportunity to do so by filling out a link, a form on a link for you to be a guest on a podcast, because the next two seasons, oh, we going up, okay? So stay tuned for what's to come. I appreciate y'all for rocking with me with this mirror series. Like I said, this is the last episode of the mirror series. We got some new things cooking up and you don't want to miss out. Don't meet me there, beat me there. Until next time, this is your girl Samantha and this is my podcast, Naturalize. Be you, black girl.